For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, returning for another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A weekly look assisted by my co-host, Mr. Dave Anderson. Welcome back, Dave.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Well, it's an exciting afternoon, an exciting weekend ahead with the FA Trophy, and we'll get to our guest shortly on that. But, I mean, the big news of the week would have been the FA guidance on return to organised football next week. So clubs up and down the country reworking out their COVID regulations and, you know, one-way systems and everything like that. But then this week, there's been a flurry of managerial changes. Now, I'm bound to have missed one. We're recording this, what, Thursday afternoon? There's probably going to be more before people listen to this. But there was Neil Ardley sacked at Notts County. The new manager, Ian Birchall, has come in to replace him, and we'll chat about that in a minute. Then today, Lewis have parted company with old friend of the show, Hugo Langton. Cray Wanderers have announced Tony Russell and Joe Vines are departing from there. And at Bromley, Neil Smith has parting ways as well. All these are mostly managers who, when the tables actually mattered, were up there and shouting as well. So we've got some football going on and managers are losing their jobs, and some football not going on and managers are still losing their jobs.
It's been a crazy week. And of course, Barnett still haven't sort of put anyone back in place. They seem to be taking their time, maybe because there's no relegation. They're taking their time on who they appoint to succeed Tim Flower. So, but it's like, just saying before we started recording, people say that as a manager, you have to keep your head down at Christmas, because that's when the seconds, you know, football managers and turkeys don't like Christmas. But effectively, this is Christmas and matches played. So it's the same scenario, only we're a couple of months behind because of COVID. And it seems it's that sort of period where someone presses the button and everyone else follows. But, you know, you look at Neil Ardley in and around a playoff place. You know, I think he's in a playoff place.
Yeah, Notts County currently sixth in the table. Bromley currently seventh in the table.
Well, both in playoff positions. To Notts County have got a FA Trophy semi-final, as we know, coming up on Saturday against one of our guests. And you sort of think, like, and I was at Bromley, funny enough, last week. Bromley and Barnet. And didn't think for a minute that Neil would be out of a job. So, you know, and then actually the funny thing was at the Bromley-Barnet game, I met the Cray chairman, Gary. I can't remember his surname, Gary, but I had a quick chat with him. How are you? You know, keeping okay? And we're talking about how well Bromley had done with the ground, because I hadn't been in it for years. And he was saying they're still ongoing with their sort of job to get their ground, and that, you know, they're happy that they'll get there in the end. And there was no sign of Vainsey and the management team leaving then. So it's we're a little bit stuck in the headlights, Robert, in the headlights today, aren't we, mate?
Yeah, well, it's difficult because we'd already put the show together, so it's difficult to sort of change the format, and we'll try and, you know, keep people updated via social and things like that. But as you mentioned there, that, you know, we announced the Barnett changes, you know, several weeks ago. But, you know, with the step one as it is at the moment and no relegation, I guess the clubs at the top are in an urgency to appoint people. But we've got other managers that are at step three departing. Clubs aren't going to be in a rush to bring people in, are they? Even if, I know many clubs are bringing back players to try and check their fitnesses in the next few weeks just to see where they are. But really, pre-season's not going to begin until June, I would have thought, simply for sanity of people. There'll be people playing football and training, but not a proper pre-season. So clubs aren't going to be in a rush at step three and below to make appointments, or step two and below.
No, not at all. And it's, how do you, I can't get my head around how you can employ people and sack people or people. Now, maybe we don't know the rhymes and reasons between Hugo and indeed the lads at Cray leaving. But it just seems really weird that if you're in a time warp, why would you go? Unless you've just had enough. It's been a terrible time, and we spoke about it. And mentally, it's a very difficult time for anybody, including football managers. So maybe it's just become too much for them. They've thought they can't sort of hold this thing together for another sort of 3 months, 4 months. But it is like it's, I don't know, it's crazy. You think you've seen everything in the game, and now you've got people leaving clubs when there's no football being played. The one thing I would say about Ian Birchall is coming in Notts County, I became aware of him because he was interviewed for the AFC Wimbledon job and spoke to someone there who was on the panel, and they were really impressed with him, and that's where his name came out. He said that, you know, their concern was that he wasn't known in the country, but that he interviewed really well and they were very, very impressed with him. I've got it from a mate, you know, Neil Ardley. I texted Neil yesterday just saying, you know, sorry to hear your news. But that seems, the only thing about that one is that seems like it's been a done deal before Neil was told. You never like it, it happens. But you can't effectively get rid of a manager of the class of Neil Ardley one day and employ someone the next, unless you've been speaking to him. So Ian comes in and gives himself a chance now after being successful in Scandinavia to do it in his home country.
Yeah, well, that was the big press release from Notts County was that he had great pedigree because he'd been successful in the upper tiers of football in Scandinavia. Now, I don't know if anybody else has watched the domestic leagues in Scandinavia and Norway and Sweden. Majority of the decent players are playing elsewhere in Europe, but you know, let's put it that way. I don't think it's a surprise that the standard of football that I've seen in the top levels of Scandinavia means that there's lots of non-league football clubs with lots of Scandinavian supporters clubs who are desperate to watch some real football. But you know, he has got a decent pedigree. He's been recommended by a number of people that are respected in the game. Is it a tough one or is it an easy one? This first game, FA Trophy semi-final against a club two levels below you.
Well, I think it's a real strange time to sack your manager. Effectively, a couple of days before you play in a semi-final of a major trophy, it doesn't make sense to me. That it really doesn't. With Ian coming in, look, you know. He obviously knows the game and he's impressed the right people and people that know more than I do. What he'll have to have beside him is someone that knows the level, someone that knows the players in and around the level, someone that knows exactly, you know, in that recruitment area, he'll have to get someone that knows what they're doing. Otherwise, he's sort of boxing with the lights off. You know, you've got to have someone who has knowledge. Because we all know recruitment is paramount to any success. And, you know, he'll be aware of the level. I don't think he's that naive. But my advice would be go and get someone that you know and trust who has a real good judgment of players.
So there might not be much league action at the moment, but this weekend we do have the FA Trophy semi-finals on Saturday. A single-legged affair this year. That means a proper cup tie, and our next guest is a man with plenty of experience in those. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Vice Chairman of Hornchurch FC, Mr. Colin McBride.
Good afternoon, chaps.
Colin, good to have you on. The lowest-ranked club, but already victories in this season's competition over Tunbridge Angels, Dulwich Hamlet, Kingsland Town, Mason United and Darlington. I mean, Notts County, that's just another one for the list.
Well, you know, whether it's hopefully not been negative one game too many, I don't know. But and they sacked their manager today or yesterday, apparently, but whether that does us any good. But, they've been brilliant. Deserved every victory. And the two games before that were both teams in our league. So, you know, we've had a fair old, run of it. You know, we haven't had any gimme games. And, the players have been brilliant.
And Cole, you know, listen, it's hard enough to put a cup run together when you've got a league, some league form and some sort of day-to-day running and working and training. How's this been?
It's been, in the beginning, we couldn't train. So they was just going out and doing their own stuff. And then we got the nod from the FA, albeit quite slowly, about being an elite club for a period. And then we started coming in. He hasn't once trained three times a week, Mark. It's only been twice. He manages a couple of the older players, you know, gives them nights off and all that. And it's been hard. Financially, it's been awkward. We lost three players to Comp and South clubs. Then we had to make a decision. And in this time, it kept evolving. You know, we was winning another round, and then we're thinking, well, blimey. So we've paid the players since we've been in shutdown. And
really?
Yeah, without any gap. Yeah. Because it was a case of, like, free when, and if we can't offer them football, you've got to offer them finance. And, you know, and it was – I'm not saying that they've all left, but there was, I think, seven others who were approached. And all this old waffle about dual registration, once they go, they've gone, do they? They never come back, Dave, do they?
No.
You
no,
know, so it was – You know, and finance. So the, you know, we've won a few bob. Yeah, I think it's up to about 21,000 now. But you know, we've more than paid that in wages. So it's yeah, it's been. I mean, there's been all these grants and all that out there, which has helped. But yeah, it's been unbelievable, really. Yeah. And you know, perhaps not having crowds has probably helped us as the the lower team.
But you mentioned the finance. It's something that I, you know, my club pays in Yeddy United. We get as much stick as you guys do for the size of the crowds compared to the level that you're playing in. But I think the majority of non-league clubs up and down this country, the thing that they're missing most, we're all missing the emotional thing of football, but as a business, they're missing the Monday night where there isn't a game of football, but there's people in the bar. And it's those sort of things where you've lost those income streams like many other clubs up and down the land.
Yeah, no, we have. And, we're quite lucky that we've, I brought a chairman in who sort of is a good sponsor to us. But we, on a Saturday for our game, I mean, we're not open throughout the week, but, you know, we take as much money behind the bar as we do at the gate. You know, where our bars sort of looks over the pitch, so it's sort of people come there to sit, and you know, some don't even watch the game, to be fair. They just come down for a beer. And so that's been hard. But we, you know, we're just one of many clubs who, I mean, I sort of run East Thurrock as well at the moment, and their bar is open all the time. So they've, you know, it's been worse for them. But yeah, well, you know, we're not in a bad place. And obviously, when you're winning games of football like we are, it makes it so much easier, you know, sort of to, you know, get by and sort of, you know, move on to the next week.
And to be fair, Colt, I mean, you couldn't have had it worse. Worse, that's about it. But the draw's tough. To go away to Notts County is tough. I think if you get them at home, you go, well, you know, they've got to come to our place. To go there, you know, it's a big old ground. It's got that Football League feel about it. Don't get me wrong, players thrive on it, you know. I just wondered, you know, how you've approached that. Have you just try and built the day up and go and enjoy this? Or how's Mark being with it? He's no stranger to winning this, by the way.
We went up to Darlington on the Friday, which, you know, you had to. I mean, we wouldn't have won that going up on the day. You know, there's a couple of people, Sam Higgins had a fitness test up there in the garden of the hotel. And I mean, there was a woman walked her dog, went past him. So like he sort of, his fitness test, I think he was just desperate to get back in for his full English breakfast, but he was sort of, but he would have struggled. Ricky Howells with his back 6 hours, you know, I just don't believe we would have won. But so we're going up Friday again. Mark's a very meticulous with his training. The players love him. And they're a right social team. And, you know, and Mark don't drink very, very rarely. So it's been left to me to galvanise the booze inside of it.
Well,
Someone's got to do it.
The sacrifices you make, McGrain.
So you sort of, but it's, I just think he's, you know, it's not a case of going and enjoying it, because, I mean, I think he's assembled a Conference South squad there. So we're talking about one league, albeit, you know, I mean, Notts County, they're a pro club and, you know, they should be in the Football League. I know you can say that about quite a few clubs in that league, but no, I think we're going with a punter's chance. I do. And we don't want to just go up there for a day out, that's for sure.
No, and the actual changing of the manager, like yesterday, does that mean anything? Does it, you know,
some people said to me, Dave, oh, blimey, they, you know, a new manager, they've all got to, you know, do this and that. I think that's true under normal circumstances, but, you know, there's not going to be a crowd, as we know, and I don't think it will make much of a difference. You know, it's a young manager. I hope he's sort of got him on the training field for 6 hours today, showing all his coaching skills. I mean, me and you would have just done one throw and said, come on.
I'll see what you're about. But
it's
a difficult one for him, because we are dinosaurs, but we've a few games under our belt as managers. And I was thinking about when I read that he'd gone in today, and obviously we know we're going to speak to you. I'm thinking about, if I'm him, how do I deal with training? Now, they're full-time, so he's got a couple of days with him. But what do you do? You know, because effectively, this is a one-off, big game, one-off. Do you run with the fox? You know, what have you been doing, guys? Keep doing that. You know, that. I just wonder, I mean, me personally, I'm thinking I'd be trying to change as little as possible until next week.
You know what? How weird, me and Stimo spoke this morning, and I said I was speaking to you, and I said, like, I guarantee me and you would have gone, right, I'm going to sit up in the stand. You know, yous get on with it. You know, there must be a coach still there or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, who's the best side? And we go with that. I mean, the thing is, Dave, like, I hate the old phrase, you know, you were sort of saying about us dinosaurs. And, like, you know, people say, oh, yous are old school and things like that. But we won loads of things being old school and, you know, and being successful. And I look at this now, this coaching business. And I don't know how much coaching you can do in the Ryman Premier. And don't get me wrong, I'm sort of contradicting myself, because Mark Stimpson's a great coach. But I always remember Tommy Taylor, who was the manager at Orient, and we took a boy, a centre-forward, and he said that he was like local to us at Purfleet then, and he said, you know what, Cole, he said, if you can get this boy to stop turning into the centre-halves, you've got to play. And I said, Tom, we'll train for an hour on a Thursday night. You've had him all week. If you can't do it, how can we?
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying, you know, people are not coached at our level, but I think there's more things you need before that. You know, if you sign someone who's 27, Dave, they've got their faults, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as well.
What they come with.
Yeah. No, I think as well, Cole. I mean, when people talk to me about coaching, you know, my genuine opinion is that you can improve a player by maybe 5% of your magic, and you can improve a team by 5%. I think 95% is their natural ability. You can make them fitter and a little bit more organized, but I'm with you. I think people have tried to reinvent the wheel. This sort of, you know, you sort of laugh and joke about it, but when I see center half splitting, albeit that the surfaces now are much better than if you go back 20 years.
Yeah.
But I sort of think it's as if people are forced to do it. Whereas I think the best pass is the pass on, you know. And I've spoke a lot to new managers about it. And I joke about me and you being dinosaurs. It's sort of, it's us having a crack with ourselves, because we've never taken ourselves too seriously. But I'm telling you now, you put your pep team out against my team, and you're going to find my team hard to beat.
No, you're absolutely right. It's funny, because a couple of years ago, we had Jonathan Hunt come to Hornchurch. Now, he'd played in the Premier for Derby and Birmingham. And he got the ball. I mean, he was 43. Talk about a credit to himself. And he got the ball, and nothing was on. And he went back to our fullback. who can't play football like him. He's 40 yards deeper. And after the game, I said, you know what, John? I said, you had a great game. But I said, I honestly think, I said, you've come from pro football where possession is the name of the game. I said, I think non-league football's position. Yeah. I said, I'm not asking you to lump it over them, but I'm saying you thread a ball between that centre-half and full-back. They don't know whose ball it is. They kick it out for a throw or a corner. Then you can do your tricks down that end. And I believe that. I you say about these centre-half. I mean, I half follow Chelsea. The two worst players on the park for them are the two centre-halves who have the ball the most. Yeah. How do you work that out?
Yeah, that's my argument. That's my argument. The three worst technical players on a football pitch tend to be the goalkeeper and the two centre halves. Don't get me wrong.
When they've got it,
they have it all the time. Don't get me wrong. When you want them to defend, they are the heart of your defence, and they are the most important people. So I'm not being detrimental to them. I'm just saying that for me, listen, we all want to pass the ball and look pretty, and don't get me wrong, attacking football, you know, that's fine. But sometimes it's forced. And I think it then becomes a problem. And I think to be fair, when you go, the difference when you go to Notts County, because me and you're starting to think we're out for a beer now, don't we? I'm trying to get it back on, to where we should be. But when you go to Notts County, it will be a big pitch. It'll be big, flat. You know, will you handle that?
Well, I think the funny thing is, I was talking to my son-in-law, like George Purcell, you know, the old forward, and he was saying, I think, he said they try to play football, and he said, I think that will sort of be a benefit to you. He said, because Mark, you know, we play football. I mean, we do play from the back, and you know, and we'll thread it into the sort of into the midfield. So, I think we'd probably have a harder time with three physical forwards, you know, lumping in. I mean, a few years ago, Dave, when you played like a conference side, they was all bigger than you. You know, there was, you know, and they had that physique about them. So all the set plays, you know, was a bit of a struggle. And I think that they're, as I say, they've all gone over this technique type of player. And perhaps, you know, we can hang in there. And I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to take whatever chances we get. You know, we've got to take them because, you know, they're obviously going to have more of the ball than us.
You say that you go in there with, yeah, there's a chance that you'll get a result there. It is a one-off game. But whatever the result, it's a massive achievement for the club, from going from the Phoenix Club in 2005, it's just restarting back out in step five. You weren't even able to enter the trophy because of the level that the club came back in. You've been there, you've been their manager. You ended up being the chairman, I think, fairly reluctantly. You sort of probably done every job under the sun there. How big's your smile going to be when you see them run out at Notts County?
I don't know about a smile, because I'll be sort of, you know, really nervous. It did make me laugh at Darlington. At half-time, they come out with pie, chips and peas, and they said, there's one for Uli. I think I'd have thrown up if I'd have had something to eat, you know, sort of like with nerves. But, no, I'm so, I mean, you know, with regards to, I mean, I did reluctantly take over as chairman and become the owner. And we, you know, and we had the debt to clear. But, yeah, you know, that's history now. We've done all that. And now I'm just the cleaner and the cook. But I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I cook a pasta for 40 people Saturday, you know, the players and staff. But, you know, when they're as committed as what they are at the moment, you don't mind what you do. And, you know, it's a bit like when you work. I mean, like Dave, with all these sort of wine suppliers and so forth. Well, when you won on a Saturday, Dave, you'll go anywhere, wouldn't you, on a Monday morning? You know what I mean?
Because
you know, you've got that result in the bag. And I'm absolutely proud of them. I mean, there's, you know, genuinely, there's not a bad apple amongst them, and I really mean that. And it's and that's a credit to Mark. He's you know, he's got a lot of sort of morals. He, you know, he likes things done correctly. And he, you know, when we went up to the hotel the other week, you know, we didn't have sort of any shenanigans with him, or, you know, they just conducted themselves how you want your players to conduct themselves. And, you know, win or lose, it's been a great run. It's, you know, give us a bit of a publicity, which is always good. And a few people locally have come out who want to help us. And So that's nice. And but I think we're in with a chance. I genuinely believe that because I think we've got some really good players.
Some really good players, and Dave's already touched upon their Stimo's record in the trophy. I don't think there's anybody with a better record. Is it a win at Canvey as a player, and then the two for Grays, and then Stevenage? That's some sort of talisman to sort of impress the players with. And you've also got this Wembley final now with limited people there, but at least they've got something to look forward to. It is a bigger carrot for the players to play in.
No, it is, Tim. I mean, for these players, they'll never get another chance. I'm saying that, but these things don't come along. These come, as I say, the record with Mark. I mean, albeit, I don't know if you remember that side, Dave, down at Canvey, that they was an excellent side.
Yeah.
Probably at one stage I thought they were the best midfield. We'd played against at that level. He had Steve Tilson in there,
Gregory,
John Kennedy. They were proper players. I mean, Kennedy's still playing for Bury St Edmunds still now. But they had a good show because they had a massive budget. But they were terrific. But still an achievement to get up to that. But to do it twice at Grays, with you look at that Grays side, I think. Six, seven of them went on to be, good pro players. Yeah. So his record is special. Does it help you Saturday when you go across the line? No, it don't. But he's, but leading up to it, I think the biggest thing he's got to do Saturday is, hold the reins back on them because they will be chomping at the bit to get out there.
Yeah, it's expelling that energy, especially even in the Friday night in the hotel. It's about having it at the right pitch. But he'll know that, and you know that. And even yourself, I often think, I've been in and around a few games because of the unfortunate, with the show call, that I can get to games and watch games. And when I'm in and around watching a game, I'm always going, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I'd do that. He's done that well. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Now, you've been out of the dugout for a while now, probably more longer than we both remember, but... Yeah. But you still miss that, then again, you still miss that where you feel you have the answer. Yeah, it must be difficult.
No, it is. It is because it's funny, really, because I, like at Darlington, everyone else was on this balcony watching it on the halfway line. I'm sitting over the other side by myself. I don't want to talk to people and, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling our players to get the ball forward. I've stopped myself doing it now because I'm thinking, well, that's probably not what Mark wants them to do. And I'm sort of saying, crash it up there and all this. So my pal comes with me, Grant Goulding, who you will know, Dave, if you see him. He took over beer. And I say to him, for fuck's sake, Grant, keep your gob shut. I said, because you're doing what I did a year ago. And it's sort of like, you're telling people what to do. And there's the manager over there. But, I do miss it. I do, and when Jim was ill and I took over for a period, albeit the league was already won, and we sort of, the first game I took over, I think it was about 12 points clear or something, and the first performance was woeful, and I just said to him, look, I said, yous are not going to lose this for me. I said, I'll change you all. I'll go and get another team. But, I don't know if I don't think I'll miss the Tuesday Thursday night training sort of thing. Jimmy loved the training. I didn't really. I just loved the games. And so I do miss it. And you do think, I would do this differently. Like we haven't had a friend. We could have had a friendly this last 3 weeks. And, Mark didn't want a friendly. Worried about people getting injured. I didn't know whether it was worth a gamble for the three or four people who might have needed a game. I don't know, out of your squad players or something. So you all look at it, you all do things differently. And but at the moment, most of the things he's doing are coming up trumps for us.
And I think, in exceptional circumstances, me and you have been around it for a long time, we've never dealt with this. I've never dealt with only being in a cup competition and not doing anything else. So, and I think the one thing about that call is that Mark is an experienced manager. And although he would never have done this before, his experience will help at this time with yourself and that, because it's about seeing your way through the fog, isn't it? It's about trying to find out the best way to deal with this particular instance without throwing your head up and making the players aware of it, you know?
No, you're right. But he's you know, as a manager, he doesn't flap with anything. He, you know, when he took over, he come in from Jimmy, and we didn't have the biggest of squads. You know, we was down the bottom of the table, but never bottom. You know, I never believed we was going to get relegated. But, you know, there'll be games where we only had two subs and he would just shrug his shoulders and, oh, well, we'll have another one back Tuesday. He's a bit unflappable, and I think that's helped. I mean, we all had to be, all the players had to be tested on Tuesday at training. And now they've got to be tested Friday before they get on a coach. So, you know, Christ almighty, if, you know, something happened and three or four. But we didn't have to do that before we played King's Lynn. So, I find it a bit bizarre, really. You know, I couldn't understand. But, you know, you can test them Friday morning, but you could catch it Saturday, you know, You know, it is an odd thing to gauge. And, you know, I suppose they're doing, you know, in these circumstances, it's an odd thing for them to sort of organise. But lucky enough, everyone passed it, and hopefully they'll be the same on Friday.
And last one from me. I have to ask about Jimmy. You know, he's been on the show a million times, and, you know, we were all concerned about his health call. How is he?
Yeah, I sort of went around there last Friday to see him all. And he's moving. Lucky enough, he's going to be moving near me. Yeah, he's all right, Dave. He's had a horrid couple of years, and he don't moan about it. Don't complain. He reckons he can drive soon, and he wants me to take him out. I said, "Leave off." I said, "I'm not getting in there with you behind the wheel." Yeah, he's mentally, even, you know, after the stroke, and he's had other setbacks, he's still a mentally strong man, and he's the great thing for him is he's got a fantastic family around him. But I mean, he hasn't been to a game in all that time since that stroke. For whatever reason. You know, I've said on loads of occasions, Jim, I'll come and pick you up. I'm gonna go to Haringey. So go past his house, 406. I mean, he's had a little problem with his eyes and so forth. And he says, you know, what's the point of going? But, as I say, once he moves and I can get him under my wing a bit, and perhaps I'll get us a tandem bike and we can go out on that.
Yeah, well, listen, send him all our best. Yeah,
send him love from the whole of the non-league community, because anybody that they'd ever dealt with Jimmy in the past would want to send their love, and best of luck to you and the boys at the weekend, Colin, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you again before that Wembley final.
Yeah, good luck, mate. Yeah.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys. Speak to you soon.
So let's stick with the FA Trophy and move on over to the other semi-final, and a man who truly does know the magic of this competition. Two final appearances as a player and two times a manager previously in the semi-finals. He wears his assistant manager's hat this weekend as he aims to go one better. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show assistant manager at Hereford FC, Mr. Steve Burr.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Good, Steve. I mean, how are you? It's good to get you back on. Yeah, let's start with that role of assistant manager. You're assistant to Josh Gorkins, who played under you at Kidderminster Harriers. How's the dynamic changed between gaffer and player and number one and number two?
Well, as you know, I mean, I retired from managing, 18 months ago. So, and I wanted to stay involved in some way, shape or form. I took on a chief scouting role at Fleetwood for a period. And I quite enjoyed that, but it was, I must admit, I was missing the dressing room. And when Josh obviously took over at Hereford, he got in touch with me and asked me if I'd come in and help him. And it suits me down to the ground. You know, I mean, I was assistant with Paul Fairclough, as you know, with the England C team for near on 10 years. So the assistant role is something I've done before, but the management side of it now is something that I've done and I enjoyed. But if I can help with my experience, make Josh become a manager and make a name for himself, then it'll be a job worth done from my part. But I'm enjoying it, to be honest. I say that the role suits me. When there's any of the rubbish stuff that has to deal with players, like the managers have to do, I quite have a bit of a wry smile and say, "Well, get on with it. That's your job now." So I don't have to deal with any of that. I'm the good guy.
It's true. I mean, to be fair, Steve, I've spoken to a couple of people about it myself. And they were saying about the assistant. I went, listen, the assistant, you can sit down in the back of the bus with the boys and have a laugh.
Absolutely.
You can sit up the front and pick a team. You know, it's the best of both worlds. And I think it's you appreciate it more when you've been in the number one seat, where as you say, anybody with any issues now, you go, yeah, the gaffer's office is that way. And it,
yeah.
And but I also think, I was talking to a guy earlier, last week, a young manager who was talking about going into a bigger club, and I said to him, you know, if you can get someone behind you that is older and you know on the way out or out, but has definitely got it, get him. Because when I look back at my own career, being at a couple of clubs, I could have done with someone like that. When I look back, not at the time, you don't see it, but when I look back, I think would have been good to have someone that's been around the block. So. I think he's been cute as well. He's been clever to get you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, as you know, Josh played for me at Kiddy and was my captain. So, and I know how determined he is to make a real go of being a successful manager. And you know what it's like these days. You don't get much time. It's all about results at the end of the day. No matter what level you're at, what club you're at, you've got to win matches. But I've enjoyed the role, and I know that the experience that I bring has helped him this season. It's been frustrating, obviously, that the season was curtailed and we couldn't continue in the league because we were in a good spot. But the trophy, obviously, has kept us alive and kept us playing, kept us training. So, you know, and hopefully, hey, we'd like to go one further and keep the season going and get ourselves to Wembley.
And we've just spoken to Colin McBride at Hornchurch, and they've had less of the season than you have.
Yes.
How are you constructing your training sessions? Are you having friendlies just to keep the lads match fit as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've managed to get. Obviously, it's been a month since we played Aldershot, so we've managed to. We played Villa under 23s. We've managed to put a game against Walsall and Port Vale. And that's both sort of kept us ticking over. But there's probably nothing quite like that Tuesday, Saturday routine of playing. And particularly up until the league was terminated, we were on a good run ourselves in the league. And once you build that momentum up, you want to keep it going. So, but the lads have trained well, and it has been frustrating. It's been a frustrating season, really, from one week to the next, never knowing whether you're going to play or not against teams. To be fair to the lads who we've got, you know, they've worked hard and we sort of train like we play. And that's all you can ask from them, really. And these lads are part-time players as well. So, you know, it's been really hard at the sharp end. Although what I will say is that we're privileged to be still being able to play and train, where a lot of people have just been able, you know, haven't been able to do a lot of things during the lockdown.
And you know, I'd spoke to Colin McBride just before you of Hornchurch. And Mark Stimson, an experienced guy as well at Hornchurch. Yeah. And his experience, and indeed yours, Steve, will, although none of us have been through what you're going through at the moment, no matter how long we've been in the game, your actual experience of day-to-day matters and being through the mill will help keep you nice and calm and deal with something that has effectively never happened before.
Yeah, I mean that's true, and like I've come up against Stimps a few times, and it's great to see him doing so well now with Hornchurch and what have you. And and hey, they're in the same situation. And it's been easier, I would say. Well, I wouldn't say it's been easier for the National League sides like Notts County and Woking, but they have been playing regular football. And with that, you know, do they have an edge? I don't think it'll matter come Saturday because it's the semi-final and you'll need a bit of luck on the day. And that's normally, it's not always the best side on the day that gets through.
Yeah. And the fact that it's one leg instead of two, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, I remember back sort of getting there as a player in 89 when we went away to Dartford with Macclesfield. We drew the first leg one each. They actually went in front back at the Moss, 1-0 up. And I'm thinking, crap, this cannot be happening. This cannot happen. And anyway, we managed to go on and win the game 4-1. But the atmosphere, knowing the end of the game, that you were going to, you know, a few weeks later or a month later, you were going to be walking out on that Wembley pitch. It was just incredible feeling. And I'm sure, hey, our lads, Woking, Notts County, Hornchurch, yeah, will all be hoping that we can do that.
Yeah, and coming up against Woking, you've got the home draw. Now, you're not going to have the fans there, but is that going to help? At least you haven't got to travel and make that distance.
No, I mean, the home tie is all you can ask for, really. It's a shame that the supporters can't be there because, you know, Hereford potentially, well, I know, you know, on a day, on any normal circumstances, the stadium would be full and the atmosphere with the, you know, they're a well-supported club. I think the home advantage with no fans, there is no advantage, you know. So, and that's probably the one thing that we will miss with the fans, because I know going with clubs before to Hereford and you know, how vivacious the crowd can be when they get themselves in front and help their team.
Yeah, and no league games. What happens if the cup run does end this weekend? Is that something?
I'll be
that
gone then.
Well, we opened the show. We were saying that it seems to be the week where everybody's changing jobs at the moment. But yeah. it does put even greater emphasis on just one big game on Saturday.
Yeah, it does, certainly does. Especially with, you know, if we can't pull it off, then obviously the season is over. But I think whatever happens with ourselves, and we'll be doing everything we can to try and get through. But I think whatever happens, we can feel very proud of what we've actually done this season. We've had some real tough draws in the trophy. The likes of, I mean, I remember the early rounds going to the places like Stamford's and Nantwich and places like that. And then, you know, obviously going to Aldershot was a real tough game for us. So, but it's one of those that if it finishes Saturday, then it will be bitterly disappointed without a shadow of a doubt. Because when you get, I mean, I've been in situations before as a manager at Kiddie when we got knocked out in the semis against Stevenage quite a few years back. And like they say, you know, it's the worst place to if you're going to go, lose in a semi-final.
And just on the game itself, Steve, you with not playing yourself, although I'm not sure about getting tickets in the C game, I'm sure you're allowed scouting tickets, you would have ample time to see Woking and do your homework that way, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, we've watched them, myself and Josh have watched them over the last month against Boreham Wood, Altrincham, Hartlepool. We've done our homework on them as we would any side. So we know, you know, we feel we know all about them, know where their strengths are. But, you know, I'm quietly confident that if, you know, if our lads can produce the performances that they have been producing, then we've got every chance indeed.
Yeah, and then, sorry, Tim, but just on the other side of the coin, Douse wouldn't have been able to have the same opportunity to watch yourselves because effectively you're only playing in cup games, you know. So you're always looking for the little one percenters, you know, where, you know, listen, you can analyse a team to death if they're better than you,
Yeah.
But I do think as a management, I used to like to be clear in my head that I knew who I was facing. And you definitely have got that.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, looking at Woking, they've seemed to have got the mainstay of the lads who have played most of the games, like Diarra and Gehring, and you know, the boy Casey and Ashford. They've been sort of regulars, and Craig Ross, the keeper. So I mean, we know that, and I mean, these days most of the games at our level are videoed, and you can. So I'm sure Woking will have done their homework like we have, and they'll have watched us videos, albeit they haven't been able to watch us in games, maybe. But watching us on videos, I'm sure they'll have picked up clips from that and had a good look at us.
Yeah, you touched on it there, knowing Mark Stimpson of old and that semi-final. We're always looking for the next non-league Hollywood blockbuster. I mean, that would be that would be some final, the two of you walking out at Wembley.
Well, I mean, it would be, and I mean, to be honest, I don't care who it is as long as we get there. But I'll tell you a story about Stimps. He was actually captain of Canvey Island against Forest Green, and the final was at Villa Park, and I did the Sky Sports analysis on the day, and the week after, I was on holiday in Greece, and he was sitting by the pool with his family, and I walked in. And, so that's going back a few years, but I'm just glad they won, actually.
I was going to say, did he remember what you said about on the analysis?
He was saying, oh, you're the guy that hammered me on the TV, weren't you?
Something we spoke about with Colin McBride was players, you know, he was saying that Mark's lost three players that had stepped up from step three to step two when all the football finished. Is that a concern this season for you guys? Now your season's finished, we've got a lot of step one clubs that are furloughing maybe their main staff and then looking for players down below. It's having an effect across non-league, I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, from the National League now, with supposedly no relegation, you can understand maybe teams that were down there looking to bring in lads on cheaper wages to save some money. And I don't agree, obviously, with what Dover have done. I think, you know, they should have carried on in some way, shape or form, like all the other teams have. But it's one of those, I think, you know, clubs... A lot of clubs have probably looked at it and thought, "Oh, this is a way that we can save money. You know, we're not going to be going anywhere this season. We can regroup again and start again next season."
Yeah, and again, going back to the England Sea reference earlier, I spoke with Mick Payne, the England Sea goalkeeping coach. Yeah. That was a lengthy conversation. It's always good to chat with Mick. But we were just having a discussion of the number of players that have gone from England Sea and made full careers for themselves, and you look at that. We're talking on Thursday afternoon or early evening, and England are about to begin their next World Cup campaign, and you look at the number of players in that England first team that have got non-league experience, and I think it says so much about the sort of players that we have at non-league and the attributes that they bring to the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good lads at this level and below, actually. You know, if you get out there, you know that you have to find them. Obviously, clubs will know that with having tight budgets and getting out there and finding some one or two diamonds that they can polish up. But the experience that I had with the England Sea was a fantastic experience working with Paul and Mickey, like you said, and a lot of those lads. It was a vehicle for those lads. When they played in the C team, that they moved on, you know, the George Boyds, Aaron McLeans, people like that. You know, there was a conveyor belt really of lads who played in that C team and then ended up playing in the Football League. Joe Lolly, who's now at Forest, you know, the lad out of Kiddie. So, you know, a lot of them went on to improve where they were and to better clubs. But it was a brilliant vehicle for those players.
Probably.
I actually went to Bromley Barnet last week and Paul was in the dugout again because he'd come back. And it was just like, it was like Back to the Future, you know, when I'm rewinds with Newt Smudger in one dugout and Paul in the other one. And he was still animated. You could listen, he never leaves you.
Yeah, I spoke to Paul last week just to, you know, wish him well. And he says, well, I'm only going in for a couple of games, he says. I says, you win a couple of games and you'll want to stay in there. But no,
yeah,
I mean, that was... he's Barnet through and through, and it must really sort of help with him, the fact that, you know, they're in the position they're in with all the hard work that Paul did actually getting them out of the conference into the Football League. And it's a shame, really, to see the situation Barnet are in at the minute.
And you know, on a similar note, I suppose. While I've got you on, you mentioned Macclesfield as well, and you had an old school testimonial when you were a player there. I'm not sure many of those will come around again. But didn't you have Sir Alex Ferguson bringing down a Man United side as well? It's sort of
I mean, I was fortunate. I was there a long time, and they granted me a testimonial. Peter Ragg, who was manager at the time at Mac, he sort of had a he knew Alex, Sir Alex, and it was the year that they played Crystal Palace, and they drew with Palace, if you remember, in the final.
Yeah.
But I was hoping the following Monday, Man United would win. They'd bring the trophy. The moss would be full. The moss rose would be full. They went and drew. Worst result I could have had. But to be fair to Sir Alex and Archie Knox, his assistant, they both came down to the game, which was on the Monday night, and then back to London for the replay, I think the night after, against Crystal Palace. And then they went and yeah, they did win it, didn't they? I think they won the But so Lee, it was Martin, the worst testimonial ever. but now, to be fair, I did well out of it. To be honest, it was fantastic that they came, and the lads who came, John Gidman and people like that. You know, the second string at the time, still great players, but it wasn't the full first team.
Yeah,
and then when you look to see what's gone on at Macclesfield since, it must be you know, sort of bittersweet to see the new look Macclesfield or the Phoenix Club or you know, hopefully going to be beginning the new season somewhere in the pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the Northwest Counties, they'll start there. But it was absolute travesty what had happened to the Macclesfield town. It's great to see that Robbie's gone in there and sorted everything out, and, you know, they're going to rise again as a new club. I follow them obviously on Twitter and stuff like that to see what's happening, and it does break my heart when I saw them putting the Astro pitch down, I must admit. but they seem to have got themselves sorted, and hopefully under a different name, which it's hard to take for some supporters, but they'll rise again, and it won't be an easy ride, but I'm sure that they can soon get themselves back to the conference in what would it be, maybe 4 or 5 years time.
Yep, another story that Hollywood would love. Well, Steve, it's been great to get you back on the Non-League Football Show. We wish you well at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Yeah, no, that's great, and all the best, lads. Nice to speak to you.
Time to round off again with this week's roundup of non-league news. It's been a busy old week. It's back on over to non-league paper towels, and so welcome back to the non-league football show. To senior writer there, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Always good, and always good when we've had a very busy day, or busy couple of days in terms of the managerial merry-go-round. It's a long while since we've used that term, but. All started off with the sacking of Neil Ardley up at Notts County, a new appointment there, and then everybody else seems to have fallen.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly, you know, I suppose the way we like it in terms of news sort of happening, but certainly, you know, never nice to see people lose their jobs, and I think particularly probably given the circumstances, all quite surprising, really. As you say, Neil Ardley, I know Notts haven't lived up to their, you know, the backing they had sort of to be title favourites and be up there challenging. But, you know, they are still in the playoffs and still do look pretty good value to finish there. You know, you'd think probably with the amount of games now towards the end of the season that it is probably a risk sort of changing manager now, because you'd think, well, the only priority is to finish in the playoffs. By changing manager, would it put that more at risk? You know, it was one of the things that Chris and Alex Reach, the Notts owners, were talking about today in their press conference as they unveiled Ian Birchall as their new manager. And, you know, there was sort of saying, you know, we haven't been sort of playing badly, results haven't been bad, but, you know, I think there's more to come. It, you know, things can be better and you know, they were also sort of talking about the future, really, and that, you know, this appointment wouldn't just be for these next couple of months and see how it goes sort of thing. You know, it's looking ahead very much so. So, yeah, certainly a surprise, I suppose, is probably the right word to seeing that. You know, and also, I suppose, with Ian Birchall coming in, you know, wouldn't have been known to sort of many people in non-league, certainly. Obviously, his career has all been based in Norway and Sweden with Viking and then Östersunds, where, of course, Graham Potter, the current Brighton manager, made his name before coming over here. So sort of a similar type of move that. But, you know, he's a rookie in terms of sort of the non-league game, but he's certainly got some good experience there over the last 6 or 7 years, you know, in sort of Scandinavia and things like that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Very much sort of a highly rated coach and someone who certainly comes with a good reputation into the English game.
Yeah, and I know they're a big club that people know, but it probably says a lot about the non-league game and its profile as well, particularly at National League level, I guess, that a manager who, as you say, it comes with a pedigree, certainly sort of recognised amongst the coaching world, that he wants to come in and take a job at non-league. And interesting, you mentioned about the owners at County saying that it's to take the club to the next level, because that was a similar reasoning behind the departure of Neil Smith at Bromley as well.
Yeah, that was perhaps the more of a surprise, really, in a way, when comparing it to Neil Ardley's departure. Obviously, probably just got into the playoff positions recently, still seventh at the moment. And perhaps you looked at it and thought, you know, maybe this change might not have been such a big surprise maybe a month or 2 months ago when the team sort of wasn't in that position. And you thought, you know, there would be more to come from them, but it just sort of seems like just as they're sort of getting going, they've now made that change, which, you know, like I say, sort of at this stage of the season, it's a surprise whether they'll be thinking, you know, like perhaps not Czar, that they can get a new manager bounce and they can go on that sort of 6, 7, 8 game run of picking up regular wins that will get them over the line. Maybe that's behind it, but yeah, certainly sort of changing Neil Smith has been such a great servant, but also sort of ambassador, really, for Bromley, as they've gone sort of strength to strength, sort of off the pitch. Obviously, the ground's been developed, but, you know, their community side and the academy is really strong there. And, you know, Neil Smith has been a big part of that. He's sort of very much sort of one of the nice guys in non-league, really. And, you know, you never sort of hear a bad word about him from anyone. So it was particularly sort of difficult seeing that news today, but, you know, I'm sure he'll get back in somewhere else, and another club will benefit from him, like Bromley have.
Yeah, and equally shocking to me was Tony Russell and Joe Vines announcing their departure from Cray Wanderers, but it seems that they're going to be taking a football a break from football, and just taking a step back. I guess in the last few months, we've all sort of contemplated where we're heading in the longer term, and maybe that's brought about this decision.
Yeah, sort of summed up a bit of a strange day, really, because I think, you know, people saw Neil Smith go, and then perhaps putting two and two together, yeah, and thinking, oh, maybe Neil Ardley could be in there. You know, I think Neil Ardley's still sort of fairly local to London, and, you know, that could work for him. Then, of course, obviously this news from Cray came out. Cray obviously having ground shared with Bromley over recent years, and so therefore, you know, naturally know the club well, and Tony Russell would you know, I'm sure would know Bromley well and Neil Smith and things like that. So you see that and you yeah, again, the rumour mill sort of starts a little bit and you wonder what might be going on. But no, like you say, they've said they're going to have a little break from now before finding a new challenge elsewhere. But again, it's another club, Cray, who've really sort of benefited from their manager. Obviously, you know, Tony Russell came in and took them up into the Eastern League Premier where they are now after two near misses in the playoffs. They were second in the 2019-20 season, weren't they, when it was made null and void, and then this year they had a good solid start before it was curtailed. So yeah, very much sort of a change of the guard really in that sort of area of the country with Bromley and Cray. Obviously Cray have good plans to move into their new stadium and things like that as well. So, you know, there's two clubs there who will have no shortage of applicants, I would imagine. You know, it could well be that, you know, Bromley already have sort of their person that they want to bring in, but those two clubs certainly will be high up on the list, you know, I'm sure of almost every manager who's out of work.
Yeah, and managers that haven't been able to have any football action, gearing up with that return to football on Tuesday under the government sort of protocols, FA protocols, and that, and there'll be a few that were due to be going back to their old clubs that will be wondering whether they might want to throw their hat into the ring, as you say, for both of those clubs, because they have the infrastructure, or very nearly the infrastructure at Cray, to make a quick progression in the next season, both on and off the field.
Yeah, that's right. I think Bromley are probably sort of almost, you know, a little bit sort of further ahead, I suppose, if you were to compare them to Cray. Obviously, they're in the National League, but at the same time, the ground has really developed. The academy is sort of in full flow now, and they're very much sort of embedded in the community there, which has obviously helped through the 3G pitch that they've got. Yeah, I think it was evident when they went to the FA Trophy final a couple of years ago, when there was 20,000 Bromley fans there. It really actually was sort of an eye opener, really, of sort of the work that they've been doing over recent years, and yeah, sort of almost the evident sort of culmination of that. You know, and I think for Cray, you know, they've really sort of got things right on the pitch. Certainly, they've sort of had this long running saga with the ground and sort of getting a home for their own, but you know, that's sorted now and is on its way. And you know, that's a club certainly heading in the right direction there, that's for sure. But you know, I think at the same token, you know, you can say that for Neil Smith and for Tony Russell as well. You know, I'm sure, you know, their phones would have been going mad with messages today, but you know, in the coming days, I imagine there'll be sort of a few chairman or owners from other clubs sort of saying, what are you thinking, what are you up to, and about having a few conversations like that, really. So they'll be in similarly high demand as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, and another departure today, Lewis and Hugo Langton parting ways. It's been about a year, I think, Hugo's been back there, just sort of steadying the ship, and it seems that they've parted on mutual terms. So whether that's to hand over the baton to the next manager at Lewis, we're not quite sure. But looking ahead to the weekend, we've got a, you know, pretty full-packed National League set of fixtures, but we've also got the FA Trophy semi-finals. We've spoken to Colin McBride from Hornchurch and then Steve Burr at Hereford this weekend. But it's a strange one, particularly for those two clubs, because it could be the end of their season, really. We normally have two-legged affairs for these semi-finals. This is just a one-leg, and it really does make this a cup game to remember and to create memories from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, certainly. A very different circumstance, isn't it, to any sort of normal year. Basically, knowing if you lose, you're not playing again for, what is it, 4 or 5 months before the new season. So, yeah, a lot riding on it just from that perspective. And then obviously there's the carrot of getting to Wembley and a final and everything that comes with that, and of course the potential that, you know, that there'll be fans on that non-league finals day as well. So yeah, two sort of really interesting tyres for sort of different reasons, really, by the sort of same token. You know, Alan Dowson has spoken at Woking about how, you know, effectively this is almost their sort of D-Day in their season, really, obviously knowing that they're not going to be relegated from the National League, but not really having, you know, still a shout of getting into the playoffs either. So, you know, it's you know, he's spoken sort of about furloughing most of the first team or all of the first team. You know, I'm sure it wouldn't be that, but they, you know, they certainly would look at then sort of some costs perhaps of squad players and things like that, and maybe going more down the loan route and giving some of their academy youngsters a few more minutes. And obviously, as we've spoken about there, Hereford, you know, great chance to get to Wembley. You know, they got there in the FA Vars, and I'm sure they'd love to get back there again. And then in the tie with Notts and Hornchurch, obviously with Notts, you've got the new manager angle from Ian Birchnell coming in. You know, saying good day, you know, he's never taken over, obviously, with his first game being a semi-final of a cup competition like this. So, yeah, certainly a bit of a batsman's of fire. And similarly, Hornchurch is sort of the biggest game in the club's history for a number of years, really. And, you know, it's remarkable the run that they've been on, as we were hearing earlier. It's, yeah, amazing to think that basically they've got through these rounds when, you know, they haven't had sort of league games being played at the same time. You know, it's so difficult for them basically just being able to train and do things like that. So, you know, they'll be solely focused and ready for this more than they ever will be in terms of, you know, motivation and not needing anything extra to know what the job in hand is, really. So, yeah, an intriguing weekend to come in the FA Trophy, I think. So.
Yeah, it is an intriguing weekend, and I guess an intriguing even. I can make up words as well. But Sunday morning, maybe I think about a heavy Saturday night, and this is what I feel like on Sunday morning. But when I'm reading the non-league paper, I mean, what else can we expect to read in this weekend's paper?
Yeah, so we've obviously got the coverage of both those trophy games. I'm at Hereford for their one. We've got all the action coming from Notts as well. Obviously, all of the National League games that are going on. The title race is sort of really hotting up now with, you know, Sutton up there, but Torquay and Hartlepool are certainly not giving up on that title either. We hear from Dave Challoner at Hartlepool, who's been having sort of a great time there, really, ever since he took that job, and, you know, in difficult circumstances as well, because they obviously cut costs last summer and things, and have sort of been going through that readjustment of being in the National League. And sort of everything that comes with dropping out of the Football League, really. So, you know, he's been doing a top job there, and, you know, perhaps arguably sort of almost under the radar a little bit, just because, you know, it's that sort of expectation that Hartlepool should be up there. But, you know, I think he's doing a lot better job than, you know, it would just sort of seem at face value, I think. So, yeah, we hear from him. I had a little chat with Dean Keats at Wrexham to see how they're getting on. They're sort of really in good form at the moment. Only one defeat in their last 13, which has put them in the playoff mix. So yeah, lots to be positive at Wrexham. I also had a chat with Jason Ainsley, of course, former Spennymoor Town manager, which sounds strange because he's you know, very much sort of been a part of the furniture there at Spennymoor, hasn't he, for 14, 15 years, and part of their sort of meteoric rise up through non-league from Northern League Division 2 all the way to National League North, and Wembley success in the FA Vars. And yeah, that was a bit of a sort of a surprise one when he left the club in December. So I've just been catching up with him, seeing what he's up to and what the plans are for Spennymoor, and he was in good form as usual. They've got a bit in there about Dorchester too and the way things are going there. and plenty of other bits and pieces from all over the pyramid. There's certainly a lot going on this week. So, yeah, jam-packed edition coming up on Sunday again.
Jam-packed. So get your jam ready with your croissant or whatever your Sunday breakfast is all about. Oh, Sunday breakfast is all about the non-league paper. David, thanks for joining us once again. Have a great weekend and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Tim.
Dave, we made it a bit more of a mature guest sort of focus this week. I think I said to you before the show started, Nunley's in a funny place, and you touched on it with some of the questions to the guests there. Experience is going to be very important over the next couple of weeks, well, a couple of days for those guys, couple of weeks, and couple of months for clubs up and down the country.
Yeah, I think that you can't listen. I didn't make this saying up; it's been around for a million years. You can't buy experience. You know, it's not for sale. You can't buy it in any shop or in any catalog. You have to go out and earn it. And what people say, well, what does it mean for you? What does it do for you? And someone who I feel I am experienced, and I look back to when I wasn't, I can tell you that dealing with stuff like this with experience and age. It would have to say, and age is better. You just deal with it calmer. We won't have seen this before, but you'll have been through enough situations to deal with it in a nice even keel and keep everybody else on an even keel. And you know, it's funny that the game seems to have gone through a trend where it's a young guy's game now. Management's a young guy's game. But there's nothing to say that the old guy still can't do it, you know.
And interesting to hear. We didn't really get to quiz Colin on it, but I know he's been helping. He mentioned that helping East Thurrock United as well, and just try and make sure that they're still around. And it's important that people that have got experience of running non-league clubs can spread that experience, so that We talk to chairmen, we talk to managers and people that run in clubs that have come in, and it's brilliant. They've brought in new ideas, new experience, new money. But that knowledge of the things that will go wrong and everything does go wrong is vital to make sure that we've still got all these clubs in existence in a few years' time.
Yeah, and that's typical of Colin. You know, he always had a link with East Thurrock. Through the years, although he was at Hornchurch and Thurrock,
yep.
If I remember properly, like if you go back to him when Jimmy was playing, I have to say he looked surprisingly well. You know, I don't know where it was, a filter. You know, he put a soft filter in or something, but I was quietly surprised at how healthy he looked, and I'm delighted for that. But yeah, look, I think sometimes maybe it's because of the age. I think he can be chucked on the scrap heap. There's a real, like Steve Burr's proven it. And I would say to any young manager, you know, if you're going to go in and you're going to build on your experience, while you're building, get someone that's got the T-shirt in the wardrobe and effectively doesn't want to be at the coalface anymore, has had enough of being the number one. Standing behind you, I think there's worse things you can do than that.
Yeah, and it's going to be a busy weekend for those guys, and interesting that it could be, you know, make or break for their season. But that is all we got time for this week. So a big thank you to our two guests, for Dave Anderson for joining me. Thank you for everybody listening. You can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non League Show. Dave Anderson's there at Dave Anderson 78. Myself there at Tim Fuel. We've been nominated for another award, Non League Bible Podcast Awards. Details on the Twitter feed. So. Get voting on there. You can find us.
You better put a link up to that, because I've no idea what that is. You know.
Well.
I'm getting quite a diva in my old age. You know.
Well, I'm not sure if you need to dust off the old suit and tie. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I struggled to tie a bow tie and get a suit on at the best of times. A year and a half later, I'm not sure if a black tie event is ever going to happen ever again. But people can listen to the podcast every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites. And there is talk that we will bring the non-league gaffer tapes back and talk about various people that were... there's a number of managers that... probably twiddling their thumbs in the next couple of weeks, so maybe we can organise something there.
My fear is that everybody I line up gets sacked. and I must say this, and we forgot. I am hoping to do Danny and Nicky Cowley, or certainly Danny. And congratulations to them again, because they've gone in at Portsmouth, and I know they're on the dark side now, but they were born and bred in non-league, so we wish them well.
They were born and bred in non-league, and, you know, it, not name-dropping, but hats off to the man that he still replies to your texts.
He does.
I'm sure he's got plenty of other people that are after his time. So it was always appreciated on that front. And something that we didn't chat to Colin McBride on as well, because I think the Cowleys were players at Hornchurch when he went in there as manager. That's a question for another time, to see whether he ever saw that managerial ability within them.
Well, in all honesty, I'm going to do Colin for the Gaffer tips. He may be the one to do first, because I think it's a good story. And now that he's actually on a director and a vice chairman and chairman and all that. But as a manager, I want to go through, because I came up against him lots of times. We became good friends. And it's a great excuse to have a beer.
Well, we look forward to listening to that one. Thank you for listening. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA